Let's pray. Father, thanks for today. Thank you for your love and care for us. I thank you for the music and the things that we sung about that helped us to focus on you. Lord, I pray this morning that as I speak, that my heart and everybody else's heart and ears will be open today to hear what you have to say. I want to pray against the evil one, because he's been very active this morning. It's been a really weird morning, but we're not scared of him. Father, we rest in you and your power and your dominion over the spiritual and the physical realms. You are God, and there is no one like you. So we stand in you and hope in you in Jesus' name. Amen. Two types of hearers. I wasn't even sure if that was spelt right, but it seems to work. Now, we have specialists today for everything. It doesn't matter what it is, in the medical world or anything else. There's somebody who's a specialist. And if we're to believe the psychologists who specialize in the human ear, they say it's possible to judge a person's personality by the shape and size of their ears. Now, when I start going through this, do not look at the person sitting next to you to try and judge them. We tend to have that tendency to do that. Two large ears, for example, when they are rounded, they show a strong nature that is concerned about the truth of ideals, and they are also ambitious. If the ear is exceedingly large and fleshy, they point to a proud and pretentious nature. Small ears belong to careful and prudent people who have a gift of willpower and perseverance. They also are evidence of a constantly wakeful intelligence. As for oval ears, when they are well-formed, they show wisdom. A person with oval ears loves to study and has a desire for perfection. Furthermore, the difference between a person's two ears is said to mean something as well. If the right ear is larger than the left, the person acts on instinctive ways. In them, fantasy has a stronger influence than reason. And if the left ear is the larger one, the person is a cerebral type who never decides things casually. And at the end of this, I am quite sure that many a taxpayer dollar went into that study. The Bible talks about two types of ears. This study never covered. It's not their shape that's important, but or what sets them apart, but rather it's who they belong to and how their owners use them. When Christ came here on earth as a God-man, he came to call himself a people. He came to the descendants of Abraham. He came as that promise through that nation to them, but they didn't recognize him. We are told in John 1, verse 11, he came to his own, and those who were his own did not know him or did not receive him. We have just finished going through all the parables here, or this section of parables about planting, and all about the kingdom of God. You say, the kingdom of God is like, the kingdom of God is like. And this method of parables or teaching had his disciples asking him why in the world he was teaching this way. Why not speak plainly? Basically, they were saying. So let's read Mark chapter 4, verse 10 to 12, which we've covered before, but the two go together. And then 33 and 34. So Mark 4, verses 10 to 12. And soon as he was alone, his followers, along with the 12, began asking him about the parables. And he was saying to them, to you it has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but those who are outside get everything in parables, so that while seeing, they may see and not perceive, and while hearing, they may hear and not understand. Otherwise, they might return and be forgiven. And then 33 and 34. With many such parables, he was speaking the word to them so far as they were able to hear it. And he did not speak to them without a parable, but he was explaining everything privately to his own disciples. Parables were a way of teaching throughout the Bible. Matter of fact, the book of Proverbs is a book of parables. Proverbs 2:1 tell us, my son, if you will receive my sayings and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. Then in verses 4 and 5 of Proverbs 2, if you seek for her, and that be wisdom, as silver, search for her as a hidden treasure, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. So, according to these two verses, to understand the teachings in the parable, one would actually need to put some thinking time into it. They would need to spend time reflecting on what they've just heard or what they just read. That was the reason parables were used in the Middle East teaching, so that through reflection, the truth would sink deeper into the heart of the student. It wasn't just a cursory hearing or reading and then walk away saying, there, I got some info, we're good to go. There were many who came to hear and watch Jesus as he traveled around. There were the curious onlookers, those guys looking for a miracle or a sign. There were the skeptics, those guys who wanted to prove he was wrong. And then there were the religious and the believers, all with the ability to hear physically what Christ said, but not all of them were willing to accept or to even understand what he was saying and what they were being taught, because not all of them were willing to put in the effort of reflecting on what they were hearing. Some simply didn't care to know. They were just there for the show. Some already thought they knew, while others desired to know fully what he was saying. And this is why Jesus often said in his teaching, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He was saying, if you want to know what I'm talking about, put away your preconceived ideas, stuff your religion in your back pocket, and listen to what I'm saying. Come willing to learn and to pay attention, because if not, you won't hear what I'm truly trying to tell you. It won't reach your heart. So his answer to why he taught in parables is twofold. One was to reveal truth to his followers, those who wanted to know, the insiders. And the second, to conceal the truth from those who didn't have ears to hear, those who were on the outside. Now this might seem like kind of a cruel act on Jesus' part. After all, wasn't he come here to reveal the kingdom of God to a lost world? And if so, how could he possibly conceal the truth from people? Well, verse 12 that we read is a direct reference to a prophecy given in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9 and following. There Isaiah, God's prosecutor, gave forth God's judgment against Israel, who had hardened their heart through rebellion against what God had taught them. Here Jesus explained that God's judgment upon Israel was to dull their ears because of their continual rebellion and cold hearts towards God and his call on them. And now towards his Savior, Jesus Christ, again, they weren't listening. They had hard hearts, and it seems that hard hearts and spiritually deaf ears seem to go hand in hand. Back in chapter 3, verse 22, the teachers of the law had already demonstrated their unbelief and rejection of Jesus. They showed their hardness of their hearts, which made them unwilling to understand the meaning of the parables. Their hard hearts would not allow them to take time to reflect or even to consider the validity of Jesus' teachings. They came thinking they already knew. They were standing in their religion and their ability to do the good stuff, and that was going to be good enough. This goes back to, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Sometimes what's dulling our ears? I mean, we think back about the birds and the seed. All those things we're talking about, people's ears being dull. It is obvious that those on the outside, as Jesus put it in verse 11, did not have ears to hear. And why? John 5, verse 39 and 40. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me, and you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. It's Jesus Christ that gives us life. Not knowing and being able to answer all the Bible quiz questions. See, this goes back to where all those people, Jesus said, in the end days they'll come, but didn't we do this in your name and that in your name and this for you and that for you? Didn't we do all the good stuff? Didn't we not do the bad stuff? You know, they threw all that in there. And what does Jesus say? Depart from me because you never knew me, you doers of evil. This goes to that. They searched the scriptures, they found all the right stuff to do and all the wrong stuff not to do, but they didn't find him. They were earning heaven on their own by trying to fulfill the scriptures in their own flesh, which can't be done. And because they had not dealt with the revelation God had already given them in the Scriptures, they did not recognize Scripture's fulfillment when he was standing right in front of them. Matter of fact, they even went so far as to accuse him of using the power of Satan to do his work. But had they truly understood the Old Testament Scriptures, and some of the, especially Isaiah, the one where we give sight to the blind, he'll heal the sick, he'll deliver those who are in bondage, they would have recognized him as one fulfilling that. But instead they say, nope, he's doing that by the devil. They had no ears to hear and they had no eyes to see. Isaiah the prophet was sent by God to deal with Israel's hard-heart condition way back in his day. Isaiah 1, 2 to 4, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. Isn't it interesting? He's talking to inanimate objects because the people won't listen. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows his owner, and the donkey its master's crib. But Israel does not know, my people do not consider. Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corrupters. They have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away from him. Even the ox and the donkey listen to their masters. Even the earth was called to listen to him, but his own people would not. What a sad statement. They rebelled against the one who gave them life, and his standard was no longer theirs. They were deaf to his call and his discipline. They placed themselves outside of their relationship with God by their actions. They turned away from him. So now here in Mark, we have Jesus dealing with the offspring of these people Isaiah was lamenting about. They thought they were part of God's kingdom because they were sons of Abraham. And regarding that, John the Baptist had this to say. This must have been kind of slapping their face. John 3:9, and do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our father, for I say to you that from these stones God is able to raise up children to Abraham. Truth be told, because of their spiritual deafness, they had placed themselves on the outside. And now Christ had come to change that, but they refused even his witness. Many of us know some who say, hey, I tried church. They say they sat through sermons. They've been under the gospel teaching. Some have even taught Sunday school, served in a worship group, or even preached from the pulpit. Yet never truly hearing and never understanding. Why? Well, like the Jews, their Christianity was mere religion. It was cultural tradition. It's something their parents passed down. It was a moral philosophy that they thought was pretty good. Maybe they thought they could earn what only Jesus could earn. So they were part of that. Maybe they never dealt with what God had already showed them. They heard him, and then they ignored him. For whatever reason, perhaps his call was too costly for them. They had already made plans for their life, or there was something that they wanted that fallen Christ would not allow. And I had all those in my life at one time or another. And I still have to be careful, we all do, not to put those things before listening and following. Or maybe they simply refused to believe because they thought they knew better. They had a better way. This can happen to those of us who belong to the kingdom as well. There may be some here this morning like this. You have stopped searching for the wisdom found in God's word. You say it's confusing, maybe. You have turned your back on his instruction. You sit through sermon after sermon, never hearing anymore, stunted in your spiritual growth. You heard God say this or that was destroying your intimacy with him, but you enjoyed it. And besides, what you were doing wasn't hurting anyone. Well, yeah, it is. It's hurting you and those who are following your example. When we don't hear God's voice, we become spiritually rudderless. The world don't make sense. Trouble don't make sense. Even the good times aren't as good. We become spiritually blind and spiritually deaf. We let everything else, even on a Sunday morning sitting in church, take our time and our attention instead of the word of God being spoken. and the movement of His Spirit in our life trying to call us to Him. Even to the point where, like, we live like those outside His kingdom and we oppose the very one who holds our future and our joy. The one who Paul said works all things for the good of them who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Now that's a promise for those who are on the inside of God's kingdom, those who have come to Him by faith. Verse 34, and He did not speak to them without parable, but He explained everything privately to His own disciples. To be on the inside is to have a private audience with the teacher. It's kind of a one-on-one. Mark 3:14 told us that Jesus chose the 12 to be with Him. The disciples were always close to Jesus, their teacher. They wanted to hear from Him, and they wanted to know the things that He thought was important and the things they needed to know. Unlike the ones on the outside, as Jesus called them, those on the inside were there to learn and not to oppose. Although Peter did oppose Him a couple times, but Jesus kind of set him straight on that. And he capitulated. Matthew 7:7, Jesus tells us, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be opened to you. And He's not talking about there when you lose your glasses or misplace your iPhone. Although sometimes prayer certainly can help on that. But He's talking about knowing the riches and the depth of the kingdom of God. That's just opposite to those who stand on the outside. Paul describes the difference between the two hearers in this way. 2 Corinthians 2:16. But their minds were hardened. Now he's talking about Israel. For until this day, at the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because it is removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, that veil is taken away. That's a promise, Andrea. Because by faith, we are free from the blindness of heart and deafness of ear. Unless as a believer, we choose to plug them. To be an insider is to seek what God has for you to do with your life. It is to desire what God desires, to mind the heart of God in intimate fellowship. By this, we can see what He sees as good and right. And when we do it in His power through us. We have nothing to brag about except Jesus Christ. Romans 12:2b. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. This is what was going on with His disciples. This is what He was trying to teach them. They were learning what God sees as priority in this life. God encourages us to grow by telling us to apply what He has revealed to us, one step at a time. If we refuse, however, we stop maturing. It's no different than how a baby learns to walk. Only here we're talking about our spiritual walk. The writer of Hebrews puts it this way, Hebrews 5, verse 14. But solid food is for the mature, who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good from evil. Put into practice. Wisdom is knowing how to put into practice what you know. That's the definition of wisdom. It's not just to know and set it on the shelf and say, hey, I got some good info over there. It's through experience with the Lord. God encourages us to grow by telling us to apply what He has revealed to us, one step at a time. Christ takes those on the inside, those He has relationship with, and teaches them the principles of God's kingdom and how with Him they are to apply them. And again, that's the definition of wisdom. Remember what He said earlier in Mark's gospel, Chapter 3, verse 35, for whoever does the will of God, he is my brother, sister, and mother. I don't know if y'all noticed this or not yet, but by walking through the book, starting in verse 1:1 until we get to the last verse, how the book works itself together, how when Jesus said something here, He alluded to it back there or vice versa. It's called reading and learning in context. It's very important. Learning these things will take reflection on our part, which means it will take time and prayer as well. It will also require you to accept some challenges, some changing of priorities in this life, some letting go of stuff. But this maturing will never happen if we act like those on the outside and harden our hearts or plug our ears towards God's voice. If we seek our own agenda. Just think of Judas. Judas spent 3 years with the disciples, seeing all the miracles, hearing all the teachings, yet he never heard a darn thing or understood a thing because he didn't have God's agenda at heart. He had his own. And it wasn't to be a follower of Christ. Let me relate this story to you. There's a fellow by the name of Bishop Elmer. And one time he was preaching and he looked down and he saw that his congregation was unattentive. They were kind of stirring and looking here and there and not listening to him. So he grabbed his Hebrew Bible and read several passages in Hebrew. And everybody stopped with it and listened intently. And he set the Hebrew Bible down and he said, it's quite disturbing that you will pay that much attention to an unknown tongue that you cannot understand, yet you will not heed the simple words I have spoken. How often do we study the Bible to find some kind of contradiction or some kind of controversy instead of the reading the Bible to change our hearts? The simple stuff that makes us followers of Christ and enables us to be. Psalms 119:48, and I shall lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love. I will meditate on your statutes. So has life lost its meaning and direction? Do you feel rudderless in your Christian life? Powerless? Do you no longer hear God speaking through his word? Have you become like the Israelites who don't even listen as well as a donkey or an ox, both animals known for their stubbornness? Then listen to Jesus. Listen to this, please. This is a beautiful verse. Revelation 3:19-20. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Now, he's talking to believers here. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens that door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. If you're a non-believer this morning, you can listen to that too. Because he wants to have that fellowship with you. Are you hearing your Savior wooing you back this morning? I hope you are, if you need that. Then open your spiritual ears and heart and allow him in to teach you through fellowship together. To dine with someone is a way of having a face-to-face fellowship with him. John wrote in 1 John that we can have face-to-face fellowship. The word he uses, Greek word, is proselopon, which means staring into someone's face. This is where he gives us a private lesson, so to speak. Back to verse 32. But he was explaining everything privately to his own disciples. When I read that, I said to Shelley, I was thinking about the two guys on the road to Emmaus. They were kind of lost, wondering. We thought he was going to be the one. That's what they said. We thought it was past tense. So Jesus takes the time to explain everything to them. He said he opened the scriptures and explained it to them. And then he revealed himself to them later. What a beautiful picture. Think of the Ethiopian eunuch reading through Isaiah. And he wanted to know what it meant. So God sent Philip over there. How? I'm not saying how, but it said and immediately he was there. Anyway, Philip was there and explained it to him and brought him to the Lord. What a beautiful picture. Nicodemus wanted to know. So when he came to Jesus, Jesus didn't say, well, you're the teacher of the law. You should know this and walk away. No. He took time to explain it to him. And he'll do the same for you and me. He loves to do that. We're his children. So those on the outside do not have ears to hear, and they don't seek to know any more than what they've just heard. And they will remain on the outside for eternity if they don't open their hearts to him. But if you're a child of God through faith in Christ, then you can understand because you have a spirit in you. Because like the first disciples, he will draw near and teach you. He promises that. He said that my spirit will bring to your remembrance everything I have taught you. That's what he told the disciples as before he departed. So why don't you invite him in to come near today and explain the wonders of God's kingdom to you? And if he has been knocking on the door of your heart, please open it and let him come in and teach you. Let him come in and ignite that life that is in there, that you've been hiding away maybe. And if you don't know him and you hear him knocking, then confess your sins and ask him in his mercy to be your Savior and Lord this morning, and enter into his kingdom and become an insider with ears to hear. Let's pray. Father, you gave us these appendages on the sides of our face. And as the thing we read this morning, some they're very different. Some are big, some are small. Some listen and some don't at all. And that's too bad. I pray that your spirit will work in us, those who know you, and your spirit dwells in us. And I pray you would stir us, Lord, to crave your word and to crave your fellowship. If we have doubts, Father, you can meet them. Because we all have shortcomings, let's not kid ourselves. But we stand in you and not what we can do and how great we are. But Lord, let us hear you. Please, in Jesus' name, amen.